Hey, I want you to turn, please, with me to Proverbs. This was the verse that I closed with last week, and I had written it down incorrectly in my notes. I want to continue with something that we began last week, and for those of you who weren't here, it's the teachings on the website. But what we really started to consider was the power and the importance of words. You know, we often, or maybe more typically, think in terms of the impact of words or the power of words. In terms of how they affect others. And that's very true. God's Word talks a great deal about that. And we'll look at a little bit more of that. But another great point, and really something that is really critical to where I would really like to see this go, is the impact that your words have on your own heart. Words, you know, when we're not doing a word study on this. That's not the heart here. But I want to look at some general truths regarding words. When you look at this in God's Word, words, and we'll see that today. Words are they're a gauge, really, of what's in your heart. But words also are a means to help teach your heart. See? I didn't write some of these verses down, but there's a wonderful verse that talks about presenting yourself before God and not being rash with your words. You know why? Because it says God's in heaven and you're not. Pretty sound to me. Amen. I'll take that. He knows a lot more than we do. And, you know, and I mentioned last week, I don't understand, certainly, all there is to understand about this. But one of the things that you see from God's Word is that words are very powerful. We saw that beginning with God. You know, God's word never goes out void. What God says will be is. Period. End of argument. And it's also and we saw a little bit where it is a tool of the adversary. You know, the adversary primarily works through people. We saw some examples of that. And the way that most often happens is by words. And we looked at a couple of records where, you know, with Hezekiah and Nehemiah, how that those words were designed to strike fear in the heart. You know, I thought of a record, and maybe I'll mention this in just a minute, but in light of words having an impact on your heart, on my heart, what comes out of my mouth, the reason why this is, I think, very, very, very important to understand is because where does believing happen? Yeah, it happens in the heart, see. And something that you see in the Word is that the heart and your mouth, your words, are inextricably linked. It's really something to see. Yeah, we'll look at some of that. But I wanted to start here in Proverbs 21. I think I said it was 20. I forget what I said, but it doesn't matter because it was wrong. But this is the verse that I wanted to look at. In verse 23 of Proverbs 21. And there's many, many verses you could take time. This is such a great study in God's Word. And that's not the heart of what we're doing. But it's worth reading some of these things. It's really awesome. But verse 23, it says, "Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from what?" Ha! Boy, amen. Anybody ever seen this? You know, it's just a great general truth in life. And I mentioned last week, tragically, I've seen saints where they snare themselves by their words. And they just get caught up in something they otherwise would have never gotten caught up with, or having to take a stand on something they otherwise never would have had to take a stand on.
Wow.
You know, because of their words. You know, the Word talks about men whose words, they say that we will conquer with our tongue. For who is Lord over us? But you and I are men and women who have a Lord. Our Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father is God. And, you know, let what I speak be in light of that. See? And that's really the heart of why we're looking at this, is not to never to condemn. We never condemn ourselves. That's just so fruitless. There's no point in that. But to become more aware, to grow in it. You know, grow in an awareness of the words that come out of our own mouth. How many times have you heard people say, you know, "I'm believing," and but they say something different? That's not how it works. Just not. We'll see. I'm going to shut up and read some verses here. Let's go to Proverbs 18. I wanted to read this again. We read verse 21 of this proverb. But the reason why I wanted to read it again is because it really, it just really drills down to the power of the spoken word, spoken words. And it's in Proverbs 18. We're going to pick it up in verse 20. "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now that's a deep verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And it really is an indicator of the power of words. There are many verses that talk about, there's a great verse in Psalm. "He sent his word and healed them." Proverbs talks about words that bring health, words that are life-giving. Isn't that something? And when we speak God's word, we stand on God's word, God backs that word up. It's his word. It's pretty awesome to think about in light of believing, which we'll get there eventually. But see, these are things to just think about and meditate on and put together in your own heart, in your own life. You know, there's Proverbs that talk about seeking God's help in guarding the mouth. Put a guard over it. You know? It's a big deal. Let's read a few more of these. Let's go to Psalm 34. We're going to come back to Proverbs in a minute. Let's so you can keep a ribbon or a finger or a toe here. But Psalm 34. This psalm is actually quoted again in 1 Peter chapter 3. Kind of neat. But Psalm 34 verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Raise your hand.
That's your phone.
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, again, we read these verses, and I think that, maybe not for everybody, but I think that many by default think in terms of what they say to other people or what they say in front of other people. No. This is what you say to yourself. See? Because those words affect the heart. Just like the words, you know, the word talks about words that are like a sword that cut to the heart, or like razor. You know, there's an illustration drawn by the words of men and how they just cut like a razor. Words do that. Words do that. The adversary uses words that are designed to set fear, to cause unbelief, to cause you to doubt God's word. That's what words do. Well, what about my words? Duh. Uh-huh. Who hears my words? I do. When nobody else is around. I think perhaps this is most important. To guard that, my words, when I'm just by myself, when it's just me and my God. Think about that. Because it does affect the heart. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Back to Proverbs. Verse 3. He that keeps his mouth. This word keep, keeps means that he is careful with his words. He who keeps his mouth, or he who is careful or guards his words, keeps or saves his life. Wow. Isn't that something? But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. See? It's Proverbs 18. Not much comment needed on that verse. this is great. Verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. I think some translations handle this as his words ask for a beating.
Right. Yeah,
verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips. Now remember, these are all figures. You know, mouth, lips, tongue. Those are figures of speech put for words. His lips or his words are the snare of his soul or his life. That's something. You know, he ensnares his life with his words. We're going to read more about this down the road in James. Boy, it opens this up a little bit. See? But that ensnaring of a man's life by his own words. See? It's pretty wild. Let's look at Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Boy, that is not the verse I wanted. I'm doing this every week now. It is a great verse. It's a great verse, but it's not the one I wanted. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursues evil, it shall pursue it to his own death. Yes. That is a great verse, but it's not the one I wanted.
Where there is that speaketh, like the piercing of the sword?
Where is it? What verse?
12:18.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in 11:18. God bless me. Here we go. Even when I don't write it down wrong, I get it wrong. 12:18. And I did want to show this. There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Boy, isn't that an incredible illustration?
Yes, it is.
Where you have words, they're likened unto the piercing of a sword. And how contrasted is that with life? See? It's incredible. There are a number of scriptures where you see this, where words are like a weapon. There's a great one, though, in Revelation. And it's Jesus Christ, where the sword will come out of his mouth, and by it will destroy the nations. Because all those words will be backed up by God Almighty. Isn't that something? But, you know, just to see and understand the impact that words have. And again, the reason why I want to, you know, consider some of these things is because, you know, this is where believing takes place. Romans 10:17. Well, let's read it. Let's go to Romans. Then we're going to look at a verse in Hebrews real quick, and then we're going to close out in the Gospels. Verse 17 of Romans 10 says, so then believing comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. There's a verse, and I just want to read this in Hebrews. And I think most of you are pretty aware of the context in Hebrews. And it's talking about men and women of believing. They were men and women of believing, and they were men and women of hope. It's interesting to see how hope and believing are so linked together in God's Word. But these were men who denied the pleasures that this life could have offered and kept their eyes on the hope. And there's a great verse here, you know, and some people refer to Hebrews 11 as kind of like the Hall of Fame of believing. Kind of neat, kind of a neat way to look at it. But here's a great truth in light of that, and it's in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. I'm sorry, not verse, although boy, that's a great verse too. I want to look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, in believing, not having received the promise or what was promised. You know, these are men and women who walked lives of believing and looked forward to the promised seed, looked forward to the coming Christ, but they didn't live to see it. Uh-huh. But they will. Not having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims in the earth. This word confess is that it's from a Greek word homologeo. It's what they assented to. It's what they said. It's how they spoke. They recognized that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Isn't that something? And these were men and women of great believing. See, and we're going to see that as we go here. How that mouth and words are so linked with the heart, which is where believing takes place. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read a couple of records here. Because Jesus Christ taught some of these things. You know, a real simple record just to help understand how this can work. And I love this record because there's so much in it. But it's the record of the man whose daughter was sick, and he had asked Jesus Christ if he would heal his daughter. And Jesus Christ said, yes, I'll go with you. Isn't that something? So he had, you know, he had that word to hold on to believe, because Jesus Christ was going to come to his home and heal his daughter. Well, you know, while he's walking with Jesus Christ, that was when that record of that woman with the issue of blood takes place. And she touched the hem of his garment, and he stops, you know, who touched me, who touched me? And it's like, what are you, nuts? There's a whole crowd of people around you. No, somebody touched me. And it was this woman, and she got delivered. As he was saying the words to this woman, your believing has made you whole. The word says, as he, those words are coming out of his mouth, these men come from this man's house who had the sick daughter. As Jesus Christ was saying to this woman, they say, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master. Oh. Can you imagine? You know, what those words would do to a heart of a father. But Jesus Christ turned to him and said, you believe. Just only believe. See, let's go. Isn't that something? But boy, those words that were spoken, see, could have usurped the believing that he had in what Jesus Christ had said. And boy, there are times where we're faced with that. And we just got to be honest with our own hearts. Luke 6. Oh, where do I want to start? Let's pick it up in verse 43. Jesus Christ is teaching. And in verse 43, in light of what we're looking at, he says, for a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Kind of makes sense. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. And this is these are idiomatic uses of words. That good treasure is referring to the thoughts, his thoughts of his heart. That's which he meditates on. That which he thinks about, holds dear, is important. Mm-hmm. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is what?
Good.
And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Boy, it's beautiful. See, it's interesting because that mouth, you know, really is a gauge of what's in the heart. It really is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, and that's where we're gonna stop in Matthew. I'm gonna read a couple of things here. For now. I tell you, this is, you know, these are things that are really worth considering and thinking about. You know, and it takes a certain honesty sometimes, doesn't it? You know, when you're dealing with your own heart.
Yep.
It's like, okay, I think I need help here. You know, just kind of like, and really, that's what the Psalms, so many of the Psalms are like that, aren't they? You know, I just God, I need help. I can't see my way out of this. You know? And it's really something. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 33. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that, now this is interesting, because it's good things and evil things. Now watch the context here where this goes. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? Condemned. Now, you and I have been judged in Christ, understood. But the point here, and reason why I wanted to read this, is to show how that those words are such an indication, and they're produced by what it is I'm feeding my heart. See? It's really something. Let's look at one more in Matthew chapter 15. And I think this is where we'll close. Matthew 15. You know, he's reproving the scribes and Pharisees in this record. They had brought up how his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And, you know, and man, it's a beautiful illustration, because man is so often concerned with the outside, you know, what it looks like. God's concerned with the heart. He doesn't see like man sees. That's what the word says. He just doesn't see like man sees. See? And we want to see like God sees. So he's dealing with this. And he's reproving these men. In verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their what? With their mouth, with their words. But their heart is what? Far from me." It's really, you know, it's something. Because, you know, you can speak words of hypocrisy. That words that don't line up with your heart. Verse 9. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which what? Comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind, or teachers of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, or if the blind show the way, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, what? It doesn't defile the man. See? It's that which comes out. That which comes out of the heart. It's really something. I'm going to end here for now, and we're going to look at some things again next week, a little bit more. But take some time to think about these things. And when it comes to believing, how my words line up with what I'm trying to build in my heart. See? And the effect that words have when I'm by myself. You know, how does that affect? How does that affect my heart? How does that affect my thinking? It's really something. Even what I say about or think about others, other saints, you know, when I'm by myself, do I think negatively? Am I seeing as man sees or am I seeing as God sees? Am I saying what the Word says about my brother or sister? Think about that. And what kind of impact that has on the heart. What kind of impact that has on how you treat and how you love your brother or sister. Just things to think about. All right, amen. I'm going to pray.